Okay, we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order and get it started today. I am Betty Naylor, Vice Chair of the committee, and we have a few members of our committee to excuse from attendance today. Paul Hanson has asked to be excused today, who is chairman of this committee. We have also Brett Shinoff and we have one other, don't we? Mark Stevens. And Tage will be joining us just a little while for our meeting. Want to welcome you here and also, okay? Okay. Okay. All right. Want to welcome the members of the audience here, and also we are welcoming you today two new members of our board, and I will turn the time over to Ken for a roll call and the introductions of the new board members.
Paul Hanson, Betty Naylor,
here.
Brett Shinoff, Tage Flint, Roger Fridal,
here.
Brad Johnson,
here.
David Sackerson,
here.
David Stevens,
here.
Mark Stevens,
here. Right on.
Oh,
very good. We have a quorum of six members.
Thank you. And the board members here, if you will introduce yourselves and what position you represent.
My name is Brad Johnson. I'm the Deputy Director for the Department of Environmental Quality, representing our Executive Director.
I'm David Stevens. I'm with Utah State University in the Utah Water Research Lab, and I'm representing higher education.
And I'm Betty Naylor, and I represent NGO, which is non-governmental organizations.
I'm Kim Bousfield, the Director of the Division of Drinking Water and Executive Secretary to the Board.
And I'm Mayor Dave Sackerson. I represent the City of Maude, and it's a pleasure to be here, and it's an honor to be on this board. Thank you.
My name is Roger Fridal. I'm the Mayor of Tremont City. And Dave and I are newly sworn in as of today, so if we screw up, we have an excuse.
Do you want them to tell anything else about themselves? Do you want to say anything else about yourselves?
Well, Dale knows me, so. No, I've been mayor for this is my fourth term, and 30 years in local politics. Been in Moab for 40 years. Married a local girl there, and that's my home. And I'm got in business and. The city keeps me pretty occupied as well, so.
Thank you.
This is my second term as mayor, and before that I was a dairy farmer. Did that for 35 years and had an opportunity to not do that anymore. So we took advantage of an opportunity because it may never have come again. And now I have become involved in way more things than I have time to do.
And Mark Stevens, we haven't forgot you. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell what area you represent?
Thank you, Betty. My name is Mark Stevens. I'm a medical doctor and represent that faction. I'm also a trauma surgeon working at Primary Children's Hospital and Intermountain Medical Center in Salt Lake City.
Thank you. And as tradition of this board, we have the audience introduce themselves. Start with Michael.
John Irish of Sunrise Engineer. I'm representing Stockton.
I'm Mayor Mark Whitney from the town of Stockton.
I'm Mary Darling. I'm just a resident of Salt Lake City.
I'm just Bill Ward. I'm a researcher at Washington State University.
Gail Pearson, Little Water Association.
Brian Pantini, Little Water Association of Utah.
Kurt Ludwigs from Rural Water.
And Terry Smith, Rural Water.
Steve Jackson, Jackson Engineering.
ship is in the White Hills Water.
I'm Lori with the American Water Works Association.
Bob Hart, engineer with the Division of Drinking Water. Casey Crossland, student.
And the gentleman just coming in, if you'll state your name.
Just Holmes, School of Health Department.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, we welcome you here. Our next order of business on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the May 9th and the June 17th board meeting. Oh, can we approve them? We don't have enough here to approve them yet.
They weren't. We do have a quorum. We can take action.
All right. Just a clarification. I was just clarifying whether we could approve the minutes with, and a quorum does form that approval process. Any comments or corrections or modifications on the minutes? I'll take a motion then.
I move that we approve the minutes from the May and June Drinking Water Board meetings.
Second.
And who is the second? Okay. Motion has been made by David Stevens, second by David Sackerson. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. The next item on our agenda is for the Financial Assistance Committee report, and Michael Grange will be handling that.
Packets, you will see the report form. The first page is the summary of our state loan fund. As you can see at this point, we are almost $1 million in the red due to recent actions by the board. However, over the course of the next year, we're expecting an additional $5.5 million to come into the fund, both from our tax revenue as well as our repayment stream. So through July 1st of 2015, we're expecting about $4.75 million available to fund drinking water projects. The second page and the third page of that first part of the report detail the recent actions as well as things that are on the agenda for the board today to consider with projects that have been recently authorized. Do you have any questions on the state fund?
Seeing none.
Okay. Page 4 begins the report for the federal fund. Currently we have just over $30 million in the fund. That includes the recent capitalization grant that we received. That also includes a repayment stream that we've been receiving. And over the course of the next 12 months, we're expecting another $15 million to come in. So by this time in 2015, we're expecting over $45.5 million in the Federal Drinking Water Fund. Again, the second page and third page of that part of the report are detailed listings of the projects that have been authorized, those are under construction, and where the money is sitting right now as far as different projects are concerned. Do you have any questions on the federal project fund?
Seeing none.
I would like to also report to the board at this time that since the May meeting, staff has closed 5 loans for projects. I forgot to bring the paper with me, but it's roughly $19 million in loan value, I believe, if I remember correctly. Those projects are now under construction, and that money is being applied for its appropriate purpose. So we are making progress on closing loans, and we'll just get some more projects in to authorize projects for.
Any questions or discussion? Thank you, Michael. And Moving on to the project priority list, and my packet says that it would be available at the meeting. Do we have any? Did you have it? Do you have the project priority? Because mine says available at the meeting.
This is the most recent packet. Just got it Wednesday night.
Okay, Michael.
Great. Sorry for that confusion. We are adding two new projects to the project priority list. The Marble Hills Water Company is being added with 100 points. Their project consists of replacing a pump in their well. Their well house was struck by lightning, so this project is receiving 100 points as an emergency project. The White Hills Water Company is added to the project priority list with 25.4 points. Their project consists of water line replacement, tank rehabilitation, and a new pressure-reducing valve. The Financial Assistance Committee has recommended that the Drinking Water Board approve the updated project priority list.
Any questions or discussion at this time? Receive a motion. I'll make the motion to approve the project priority list. Second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion by Betty, a second by David Sackerson. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Moving forward then, Michael again, SRF applications.
Yes. For Mayor Friedall and for Mayor Sackerson, just for your information, typically the project engineer that we have on staff that does the evaluation preparation will be the one here presenting this for the board, since they're the ones that are most familiar with the project. However, the section manager for these engineers let them have the day off today, so somebody needs to talk to that guy and have him look at his calendar a little more closely. White Hills Water Company is the first one up. Requesting $1,037,000 to replace approximately 4,000 linear feet of 10-inch steel pipeline, install air vac stations at high points in the system, install a pressure-reducing valve station, and improve service to the White Hills Country Estates area. They will also be adding security fencing around both of the wellheads and well control buildings, and rehab two above-ground steel tanks, both interior and exterior. The service area for the White Hills Water Company has been annexed into Eagle Mountain City, and White Hills Water Company and Eagle Mountain City have negotiated a transfer agreement. One condition of this agreement is that these improvements need to be completed. The White Hills Water Company did receive financial assistance in 2010 from the Drinking Water Board, and they are currently making their annual installment payments on that financial assistance. Their local MEGI is $47,386, or approximately 120% of the state MEGI. Their current water bill is $56 a month, just over $56 a month, which is 1.42% of their local MEGI. And the proposed financial assistance, which is a 1% loan, with $518,000 in principal forgiveness, would allow White Hills Water Company to only raise their rates to $84.51 a month, which is 2.14% of local MEGI. The Financial Assistance Committee has recommended that the Drinking Water Board authorize $1,037,000 to White Hills Water Company at 1% interest or fee per annum for 30 years, with $518,000 in principal forgiveness, with the condition that they resolve the issues on our compliance report.
Okay, do we have questions for the board? From the board? With the applicant?
I apologize, but can I ask where the White Hills district is?
Where the White Hills? It's located in Utah County, west of Eagle Mountain City.
Thank you.
And I believe the Financial Assistance Committee learned that it would be two independently operated systems. They don't connect. Excuse me, they don't connect because there's a 4-mile difference between. Would the applicant like to respond? Maybe give us some clarification on that.
Steve Jackson, Jackson Engineering. The White Hills Water Company, the water system was originally part of a subdivision development in the late 70s, early 80s as a service for approximately 120 lot subdivision as a single well and two steel tanks that sit side by side to provide the storage. Recently, the ground surrounding the subdivision was part of an annexation into Eagle Mountain City, and Eagle Mountain City is willing to or interested in taking on the water system, so there's not an island system within their incorporated city limits. However, there's a 4-mile separation between the existing infrastructure of Eagle Mountain City and this White Hills community. So it will be operated as an isolated part of Eagle Mountain City's water system. Once the improvements identified are completed, the city will then take over the infrastructure and run and operate this system.
And it is my understanding that your residents would be fully responsible for this obligation that has incurred. It isn't the existing residents of Eagle Mountain that would be brought into that. Is that correct?
Correct. That was a stipulation of the transition agreement. The cost for these improvements are borne by the customers being serviced by this system. And so they will have a different or separate water rate from the other Eagle Mountain City residents because they're on this separate system, so that the repayment will be borne by those customers utilizing the system.
Okay.
But this will all be administered by Eagle Mountain, or do you have a separate billing and administration?
Eventually it will be administered by Eagle Mountain City, yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, are you selling this asset or are you conveying it? What are you doing here? I mean,
it's a conveyance through a transition agreement that's in place between the city. So it's a conveyance of facilities.
Any further discussion? Questions from the board?
I have a question. Why do you use steel pipe instead of something different?
That was a function of the original development, and the parties involved in that construction utilized a steel banded pipe. And because that's, you know, now it's 20 years down the road, there's corrosion and pitting issues, and the last couple of years been several leaks and breakages. And so, therefore, the city's concerned about that material and the state of those pipelines, and thus the need to replace them as part of this funding application.
Are they replacing it with steel pipe?
No, we'll be replacing with PVC. I'm sorry.
I didn't see that.
Existing pipes are steel. Will be replaced with PVC.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Mark Stevens, do you have any questions?
No, that answered my question about the steel pipes. Thank you, Betty.
Okay. I'd be ready to receive a motion then.
I make a motion that we approve the White Hills Water Company request.
Okay, as stated, as the recommendation from the Financial Assistance Committee as written in the our agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, motion made by Roger, second by David Stevens. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to our next SRF application, which is Marble Hills. Do we have representatives here? Okay, Michael.
Marble Hills Water Company is requesting $28,167 in financial assistance to replace the well pump that was damaged by a lightning strike. This has been determined to be an emergency project. In April, lightning struck their well house and damaged their pump and the motor and required the replacement. Due to the emergency nature, they have actually already completed these repairs and replacements, and they are simply requesting that this money be authorized as a reimbursement for that emergency situation. The local MAGI for Marble Hills is $41,836, or 90%. That's not quite right. I didn't check that number. It's actually more than 100% of the state MAGI. Marble Hills is located 10 miles west of Tremont in the Thatcher area. They actually are of the opinion that the MAGI reported for the zip code does not accurately reflect their community. However, they did not have time to pursue a third-party income survey for this particular project. A full loan at the calculated interest rate of 2.98% for 20 years would increase their water bill to approximately $58 per connection, which is 1.67% of the reported local MAGI. However, due to the nature of this project of being an emergency, the high cost of bonding and the low dollar cost of the project, it's been recommended that the board consider offering Marble Hills Water Company grant or principal forgiveness for this project. And the Financial Assistance Committee does recommend that the Drinking Water Board authorize a loan of $28,167, with $28,167 in principal forgiveness to the Marble Hills Water Company.
Questions or discussion from the board?
Would it be wise, since I know these people extremely well, if I just withdrew and participated?
You make any decisions regarding that particular...
Not directly. I don't. So is that all right if I can still participate?
Okay. All right. I'll receive a motion.
I'll move that we accept the recommendation of the Financial Assistance Committee to authorize a loan of $28,167 with $28,167 in principal forgiveness to the Marble Hills Water Company. And the board would like to emphasize that we don't want to set a precedent here for this type of situation, but due to the emergency and kind of random nature of this problem they're having and the small amount of money that they're requesting, that we essentially give them a grant to replace the money that they've already spent to fix their system.
Any, we need a second on that?
Second.
Okay. We'll let Mark second it this time. So a motion by David Stevens, a second by Mark Stevens. And just a comment here, it was important to Paul, our chairman, that last part of David's motion be included for future, that it's due to the low cost, the cost of bonding and so forth, and with the small amount of money, it was important for that to be included in the motion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Was Tammy or was John going to take this next one?
Let's call Tammy.
Okay. All right. The next items on our agenda is selection of the Financial Assistance Committee members. Our Financial Assistance Committee reviews the proposals before that will come before the board about 30 days prior to them coming to the board and makes recommendations. This is an opportunity for us to question, to receive answers, or to direct staff that we need more questions answered or more information or so forth. We do not make any formal decisions. there. And currently, we would have four members on the Financial Assistance Committee. Three members who are sitting on the committee have expressed interest in staying on the committee, and that's Chairman Hansen, myself, and David Stevens. Now, we need one more member to be on this committee. Our committee meetings are by teleconference. They last anywhere from a half an hour to however long it is necessary to complete our agenda for that. We're looking for volunteers. We're looking.
Volunteer.
Okay. We have a volunteer. Right. I didn't hear anything from you, Mark. Okay. We have a volunteer. We do have to have a formal motion to appoint, don't we?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by David Zacherson, second by Mark Stevens, to appoint Roger Fidel to the Financial Assistance Committee. And all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good experience. I've enjoyed it. And that. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the authorization for a change in proposed rule. Tammy?
In May, the board authorized the division to go forward with a proposed rule change for the tank rule as well as the water transmission line rules. And so that was filed with the Division of Administrative Rules and the public comment period that is required by that rule was open for 30 days for people to make comments to. After the 30 days, we collected the comments, and there were a couple of them that we felt were very worthwhile and should be included in our rules, the proposed changes that we have made. So in this particular, we're coming to before the board to ask that we update the proposed changes that you approved last time with some additional changes that address the comments that we received during that open comment period, as well as we had staff go through and just review it for language. A lot of the changes in there, the proposed rule, are probably insignificant, but we tried to be consistent with wording. So there were a lot of, in the tank rule, for example, it referenced structures, and we tried to, and reservoirs and tanks, and we tried to eliminate the different things that we called things and be more consistent and call everything tanks. So that is kind of what the proposed change is. We are coming before you to ask for a change in the proposed rule. So the proposal that we came, that was approved in May, we want to amend with these new changes to add those minor things. What will happen is we will go to the Division of Administrative Rules again with the proposed changes, resubmit them, and another 30-day comment period will be open for people to comment on that. Do you have any questions?
Hey, Bob, do you have anything to add to Tammy's discussion?
Rulemaking is incredibly difficult, I found. And you do your best to make your changes, but then new insights come in, and so you go through one more rule revision, and that's what this is. Hopefully this will be final, and we can come back to the board for authorization to make the rule effective.
Okay, and I believe that we can handle this in one motion if we designate the numbers on the rules to be able to make the changes on.
Yeah, let's ask a question before we go into that. Is this additional 30-day comment period a requirement?
It is.
Is this a big enough change based on these comments?
It is.
If you make any change in any file, you have to go through another 30-day comment period according to the Division Administrative Rules requirements.
So this could go on forever, then. Some comments on the comments on the comments.
It makes the process cumbersome.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Ken.
Just a comment. The assumption is, from the administrative rules point of view, is people may have reviewed the rule and not found anything wrong with it, so they didn't comment. Now it changes, and they may not be willing to get along with those changes, so that's why the second review.
Okay, I'll receive a motion. I'll make the motion then that we move forward with the proposed rules for R309-545, drinking water storage tanks, and R309-550 for transmission and distribution pipelines. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And that was David.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Motion by Betty. Second by David Sackerson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Our next item on the agenda is the authorization to initiate rule revision. Rules section staff, John Okeson.
Yes, this deals with authorization to proceed with the rule adoption of R309-400. This packet contains necessary changes to the R309-400 as a result of adoption of the groundwater rule. It's also the correct updated rule references and missing ones, as well as miscellaneous changes to correct formatting and grammar to make the rule language much easier understood. We use the IPS rule as a measurement tool to prioritize divisions' enforcement and technical assistance resources. This rule doesn't add any additional cost or workload. It's simply just more of a cleanup of the existing rule. And with that, staff recommends the Division of Drinking Water Board authorize the staff to proceed with the filing for substantive changes to Rule R309-400 with the Division of Administrative Rules for rule adoption.
Questions from the board?
I'd make a motion that we authorize to proceed with rule adoption R309-400.
Second.
Okay. Motion by David Sackerson, the second by Roger. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Okay. Dale. You're up, Dale, with rural water users.
I'm still trying to make some changes.
I don't know.
Thank you. It's good to be here today. Just very quickly, particularly because we've got two members on the board, I wanted to explain just a little bit about the Rural Water Association of Utah. We're an association made up of water system members. Our primary purpose is to provide training to those systems. We provide training not only to member systems, but to all systems in the state. And we provide that training in two different ways. One is in a classroom setting. The other would be on-site, on the ground, at the system when the system has a particular problem. We facilitate that training in a number of ways. We have several federal programs that allow us to have people in the field. We also have several programs funded by the state of Utah. And the fellows that stood up with me earlier and introduced themselves are the guys who take care of those programs.
In your packet is a letter written from the water system to Charles Jeffs, who was formerly the state compliance circuit rider. And that letter, some of the better letters we've gotten, quite frankly, but I think it's indicative of the type of work that we do and the appreciation that systems have for both the association and, I believe, for the state of Utah for funding that type of assistance. So it's very important to them, particularly, you know, the very small systems really struggle sometimes with what you guys just did as far as setting a new regulation, a new rule, how do we comply with that, staying on top of it. And our people are able to simplify that process for them, bring them into compliance, and make sure that all of us achieve that goal that we have of making sure the state of Utah as a whole has clean, safe drinking water. With that, I'm going to have Kurt, Brian, and Terry come up and give you a brief report on each of their programs and what they've been doing. And once again, glad to have the two mayors on board, good to see you. And as a former member of the board, I can testify that you enjoy what you're doing. It's a good, rewarding place to be. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your service.
Thanks, Dale.
Guys.
He says whoever wants to go first then points to me.
Okay. State your name for the
record. This is Kurt Ludvigsen. I kind of thought when Bob and Tammy came up and was talking to you about rule revisions to do with tanks, that maybe the change was going to be that it was okay to not have a lid on a tank and then stopped and it'd be in good shape. You know, they wouldn't have to worry about it. But I guess that's not the case. I handed to Ken a little brochure that we've put together that he's probably handed around to you, just kind of describing just a little bit. I'm going to use this as I go around and visit with county folks to help explain to them what my role is for the two new gentlemen. My particular position is to work with counties in assuring that development takes place out in the counties outside of the jurisdictions of the communities, the cities and towns and districts and so forth, to try to make sure that their infrastructure is done properly, even for the real small ones that don't qualify as public drinking water systems, so that hopefully when they grow up and become public water systems, the infrastructure that's in place will be adequate and good to go. That's just kind of the short version of I guess what I'm supposed to be doing. This little brochure kind of explains it in brief. I'm hoping that I can just kind of use that as I travel around and meet with county folks. I meet with the building authority people, I meet with the planning and zoning people, I meet with the commissioners and anybody else that's involved in that whole process. I'm also working closely. I met earlier in the year with Michael Grange, and he identified the counties in the state that he thought needed the most attention. And the six-county area, which is San Pete, Sevier, Juab, Miller, Paiute, Wayne, I think I got them all in there, was one of those areas that he identified. And I'm working closely with John Chartier, the district engineer down in Richfield, and we're putting together an ordinance, what we're calling a non-public drinking water system ordinance, that we're hoping that we can get people to come on board with, to adopt and embrace, which ultimately would be the health departments that would need to be involved in making sure that it was implemented, that it was followed. And we've got that ordinance pretty well put together, just having it reviewed by a few folks now. And once we get that, I'm hoping that we can hit the road running with it and start to accomplishing a little bit more of what we're actually trying to accomplish, not just paperwork. But I've been able to go around and visit. I've visited with a lot of the county people the last few months since I've had this position, particularly planning commission people, building people, a few commissioners, to kind of introduce them a little bit more to the program and get them thinking a little bit about what it is that we're trying to accomplish. So that's just in a nutshell kind of my report, I guess. If there's anything you want to tell me, why, I'm here to hear it.
Kurt, just one question. For the board members who are not here, is it possible to email that
you bet.
To them?
That's not okay. A problem at all. I can.
So that they would have that information?
And yeah, and I'm going to try to get around and visit with each one of them as well, you know, like in their absence. But sure, I can easily email that to them. That's easy to
okay.
do.
Okay. All right. Yes, Ken.
I'd like to comment on Kurt's efforts. This is something that's important to the board in that when developments are built substandard and they will later come to the board and say, can you help us out? And they'll also say, we're poor, but we're deserving, so give us grant monies. This is an effort to get the infrastructure that's needed in place so that it doesn't bleed the program and help communities that are established and need help.
Yeah. I think from what, you know, developers certainly aren't going to like what we're trying to do. And I think possibly health departments might not buy onto it too readily either, because it will require a little bit more effort on their part in the enforcement area of the thing. But if we can make it happen, it's certainly going to be better all the way around. There's no question about it. There's a few examples of little developments in the state that we could refer to, but I guess we won't necessarily do that right now. But you probably know who they are as well as I do. But hopefully we can get that type of stuff corrected.
So in other words, Kurt, you're going to have to use your charming personality quite frequently.
Yeah, that's me. You bet. Yeah. Let's get on the charming feller.
Any other discussion from the board or questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
And Clearwater really does a nice job. I've learned a lot about them.
Well, thanks. And we appreciate your help, your support. And I will make sure that gets emailed to the board members that aren't here.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So,
introduce yourself.
Oh, again. Okay. Brian Patti. I'm new to Rural Water. I've been with them for about 4 months now. My title is Compliance Circuit Rider. And essentially what I do is I go around and I work with the systems that have high IPS points, the CAPS list systems, systems that may be getting on the ETT list, and just help them get through their compliance issues. A lot of their issues are sampling, lack of sampling. Some of them don't have operators right now. So what I do is I just go meet with them. We go over their IPS points list. I have them show them their system, so I kind of know what they're dealing with. And pretty well, that's just what I do. It's a pretty big task. There's quite a few systems that need some help, but certainly I haven't seen anything that isn't achievable with the points. Some of them are physical deficiencies that they need to work on, or that they need to improve their systems, but a lot of it is just sampling and that they have just failed to do or got behind on. And
do you find that the sampling is lacking because of certified operators in those systems, or? does that not come into play?
Some of them, it's a lacking of, it's been a turnover of the old operator, and no one's taken over as a certified operator, or there is a disconnect in just their lack of not understanding some, and the sampling procedures, and some of them are with the new requirements, they're not keeping up with the new requirements. We at Rural Water, you know, we do a lot of trainings, like Dale referred to, but a lot of times some of these operators don't make it to them, so they get behind on some of the new requirements, and then once they get behind, it seems like they have a hard time keeping up. But to answer your question, it's some of the problem is the certified operators don't have a real good communication with either their elected officials or their boards, and you know, some of the sampling can get quite expensive, so that sometimes there's a financial element there. But as far as some of the ones that don't have certified operators, I'm working with them to, you know, and nudging them along, trying to get them to get to that point. Okay. So, you know, definitely working on that in one way or another, but trying to keep on top of it. So,
questions or comments from the board?
I'll just have to say that I've always appreciated the efforts of Rural Water, and honestly, if an operator can't get certified with you guys helping them out, then maybe we don't want them as operators anyway, because you give us a soup-to-nuts solution there, I tell you, and we really appreciate it.
That's
here on the board. Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Terry Smith, Rural Water. I'm the management technician as of January. So I'm still a little bit new to this. Before that, I was a circuit rider. And circuit rider basically means that I went on, helped systems, worked with the operators. We did a lot of hands-on repairs and things like that. Now, as a management technician, I work with systems in more in the area of capacity development, which means, you know, we take a look at water systems are a business. Unfortunately, a lot of times that kind of gets lost along the way, and they start to think they're a charitable organization or what have you. And so we, it's a lot of my job is to look at their rates and help them to get funding, and I think a lot of times they just need me there to tell the council that, hey, you need to raise your rates, even though they know that because they're in the red every year. And so I've done a lot of that in the last 6 months that I've been here. You know, it's funny, I've probably done, I'm going to guess, 8 rate studies, and out of those 8, I had 2. When we got through and sat down, I said, look, you're not taking in nearly as much money as you should be. He said, well, that's just because all you charge for is the base rate. We hate to charge people for the water that they use, and you know, if they would just enforce their own rates, they'd have all kinds of revenue. So, you know, it's just a lot of times I think they need a little push along and some help understanding, and maybe somebody from the outside telling them what needs to be done. You mentioned, you know, Brian addressed that question about operators. I'll tell you one of the biggest challenges for operators. You said the certified operators, and they are. They're also the sexton that takes care of the cemetery. They take care of the wells. They take care of the ballpark. You know, these poor guys, I see some of those, that, and you know, crews have shrunk over the years. We've gotten more confident in what we're doing and new technology, and that's actually helped shrink the crews a little bit, I think, sometimes, which makes it difficult. But what happens on sampling is, they get their monitoring report in February, and they know they're not going to take samples until their sources are all running, which is August, September. But by then, they're so busy with summer that they just slide right on by it. So, you know, these guys are hardworking individuals. They're good, you know, salt-of-the-earth kind of guys. Didn't mean to step on Brian's toes there, but being a little bit of a rookie, I think you'll soon see that these small systems. That's their biggest challenge. But, as far as getting back to what I do on the capacity development, you know, helping systems do the ordinances and policies and procedures and things like that, just sort of that. And then every now and again, you know, I have an operator call me and say, I've got a broken fire hydrant. Well, I'm the closest guy to him, so I go help him fix those too. So a little bit of everything now.
Okay. Thank you. Questions or discussion from the board? Again, I express my appreciation for what Rural Water does, and just keep up the good work. And let the minutes reflect, Marianne, that Paige has joined us. Okay, thank you. All right, moving on our agenda, the chairman's report, and our chairman isn't here, so I just get off really easy, don't I?
Or not.
Yeah. What? Sitting in for him, I don't have anything to report, so director's report, Ken.
I was wondering if you were going to say that the chairman thought that the vice chairman has done an outstanding job today.
Thank you. The only reason I accepted that position as vice chairman, I told Paul he could never miss a meeting. We'll have a little discussion about this. But what he is doing today is very important for his profession, professional licensing, I guess it is, and that. So he never misses a meeting. Go ahead, Ken.
I'd like to mention an item that is not on the agenda, but for the board's information, as you are probably aware, there was a significant fire around the community of Stockton earlier in the week. Unfortunately, no homes were destroyed as a result of the fire. There were some outbuildings that were destroyed. But for the water system, the roof of their storage tank, constructed of wood, caught fire. And in the efforts to put out the fire associated with the tank, as well as for the land around the tank and around the community, a fire retardant was used, and this fire retardant was spread on the tank. Ultimately, the structure collapsed into the tank, and of course, the fire retardant with that went into the tank. And I'd like to recognize Jeff Coons. Jeff, can you raise your hand there? He took the lead on the ground relative to the division's efforts. Jeff works for the Tulare County Health Department, did an outstanding job working with the community and doing a number of the on-site things. One of the things that perhaps was beyond what would be expected of Jeff, but he did it anyway, actually obtained a copy of the chemical makeup from the manufacturer retardant, which was very helpful. This served as an indicator of what we would direct the lab to test for. We've gotten the test. It looks like the principal constituent, ammonia polyphosphate. So some of the parameters as indicators of the retardant would be ammonia, would be nitrate and nitrite, as well as phosphate. And it appears that the tank, and as to be expected, still had significant amounts of the retardant, as evidenced by these indicator analysis. The distribution system, their results for these constituents was well within normal ranges, indicating that the retardant was not it was just isolated to the tank. It was not in the distribution system. So in a conversation earlier this morning, Jeff and I conferred and concluded that the town could proceed with normal water usage, with the exception of the human consumption point, which would include drinking, toothbrushing, cooking, would have to be bottled water or some other source for those activities. Further, we agreed, Jeff and I, that before we can release the human consumption component of water usage, we would need to see two satisfactory bacteriologic samples on consecutive days to ensure that with the open tank that it is vulnerable to all sorts of contamination, and the coliforms would be a good indicator for that type of contamination. We have representatives, Jeff from the Health Department, the mayor of the town of Stockton, and engineer with us. They're sitting next to Jeff. I don't know if there's anything that you would like to add.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Maybe just an update on the water quality situation. We received the first round of bacteriological sample results taken yesterday, and those have come back good, so that's another good indicator. So we took an additional round of samples this morning, another 10 samples throughout representing the community, and they've been taken to the lab. We should have the results on those by noon tomorrow. If those are good as well, I'll consult with Ken, and at that point, if they're good, I think we'll be able to remove any restrictions as far as the water that's in the distribution system. The water that's still in the tank still needs to be resolved. We're working, I guess, with water quality on that issue to determine final disposition of that. But I do know, the tank itself, the city has two tanks. A 250,000-gallon tank and a 500,000-gallon tank. This was their 500,000-gallon tank that's been taken out of operation now. So that's a severe impact on the town. It was a giant tank, and the engineer can address better than I can, but the tank's a 90-year-old tank anyway, and it had a cement tank with a wood roof. It was actually a fairly good tank, but after this incident, it's been devastated. So maybe I'll let the engineer talk more about the condition of the tank itself. John?
My name is John Iverson, Sunrise Engineering. The insurance company came this morning to check out the tank. We're in the assessment mode still. We don't know what's going to be required, if that tank can be salvaged, or if it has to be just written off and a new tank to replace it. The intent is, if possible, we're going to construct a new tank with the insurance money that we get here, because this existing tank, being 90 years old, is beyond its useful life. The outlets and the piping that was installed there was installed by the railroad. It was a tank that was used as a reservoir. So when the locomotives came through, the water from this tank made up water to a day tank, if you will, that the railroad used to top off the boilers. And so the piping coming out of this tank is very small, and there's a lot of needs on it to use it in a modern distribution system. And so, But as I said, where we're at right now, we're still in the assessment mode and determining what's going to be needed. And we're going to ask the board to help us with whatever the insurance company doesn't help us with to bring the system up to date. Do you have any questions for me?
For me, either one.
But just quickly, I watched with interest on the news the footage, and I was trying to make out what I was looking at. So is it a wood roof on a concrete tank?
It was. Originally, I think the tank was actually built by the railroad. Like I said, it has some concrete columns in it that are quite small, and they were supporting a framework for the redwood tank lid. The beautiful, beautiful redwood inside there. The lid, it had a lot of problems. It's been a source of contention for the Division of Drinking Water on their sanitary surveys for a while. The city had just barely put a brand new membrane coating on that roof to keep water from infiltrating from the it's a bad deal. It's a sorry loss. But at the present time, the tank is full of charcoal, fire retardant. The roof, as it said, was collapsed right in into the tank. So everything that was on the roof is now in the tank. The tank is physically isolated with valves. The EPA will not let us drain the tank because of the ammonium polyphosphate fire retardant that's on there. Even though we drop that stuff on fires that go across streams and rivers and everything else that goes into the water system, they will not let us drain the tank to the ground on the for fear that it might contaminate something. No figure. So right now we can't even really do a thorough inspection of the existing tank until we can get it drained. We're going to leave this meeting here in a minute. We're going to go up to DEQ and see if we can talk to them about allowing us to pump the tank out into the sewer system and let it go out to the sewer lagoons, which would be probably a good place for the stuff to go and not cause any problems.
We have a question over here.
First of all, I'm sorry for your loss. I mean, it's got to be pretty devastating for this community. Is the 250,000-gallon existing tank going to be enough? No, it's not going to be enough. What are you going to do in the meantime?
Mayor Mark Whitney. Right now, what we're doing is we've just transferred all the two zones together, and we're running. We've got the 250,000-gallon tank in operation for sampling and that kind of thing. We have an emergency well that we may end up having to use. And by the way, that has some antimony in it, which is not fun, but we can blend. We're just going to have to restrict water usage until we have an opportunity to repair, rebuild, or whatever the assessment calls for.
So do you have enough water to flush your toilets and drink, but you just can't water your lawn?
That'll be all.
Okay.
We'll be able to do.
Continuing on with my report, that's all right. These are good questions, and it brings out the information that's pertinent. The engineering firm is well versed in funding, and has approached the board before on other projects. Mike has been working at Mike Grange. Has been working with the consultant, advising on what is needed to get a package together. We, as staff, committed that the board would be willing, when we have a package, to hold an emergency meeting to address funding issues and do what, as staff, what we could do, and I think I speak for the board in this regard. I think you'd be willing to do what you could do to assist the communities. With that said, the next item I'd like to talk about, changing the subject, unless
thank you. And again, I think the whole board expresses a sincere, I mean, you've had a loss. That's it. And that, so get working on your packet so that we can act upon that in a timely manner.
In the last day of June, I sent a letter to water systems throughout the state. The concept behind that is looking at our SRF funds that we've had, the projection for this year is that we're going to be down roughly $2 million from what the previous year showed. We're looking at ways of, because we take a portion of that for administrative purposes, looking at ways to cover that hole and keep our water level above water so to speak. And what we're proposing is a fee on proposed construction associated with plan reviews. It's not completely covering our plan review cost, but it is a portion of that cost, roughly, and the extent of the fees on the back of the letter in the packet. What we're proposing is 1/5 of 1% of the estimated construction costs, with a minimum of a $250 fee and a maximum of a $5,000 fee. The $5,000 fee would equate to what would be assessed at 1/4 of 1% of a $2 million project. We anticipate this will raise in the ballpark. We don't have exact figures because we don't have exact costs for the projects that we're talking about. To even project what it would have been last year, but we're guessing it'll be in the range of $250,000. We think this will be adequate to cover the need. This will be, assuming that we proceed, be part of the department's fee hearing, which will be held in late September, with the comment period and notice occurring in August in anticipation of that September hearing. Also in your packet, we have a copy of a audit report. At the previous meeting, I told you that we had two audits. So one was a financial audit of the SRF program. The other was a program audit of our implementation of the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act. We have the report on the financial audit of our SRF program. We have not received yet the report on our implementation of the Federal Act. We'd like to draw your attention to a concept that is important to EPA, and as a result of their imposing requirements on staff and the board associated with the SRF funding coming from the board. And it deals with this unliquidated obligations, is how EPA defines it. What that means is specifically, as EPA grants money for SRF projects, that money, the intent is that it be in projects and used for construction. And if it isn't, it sits, and those are the unobligated or unliquidated obligations that EPA is referring to. This looks bad from EPA's point of view, because when they go to Congress and say there's this great need, Congress says, well, if there's this great need, why have you got this money out there and it's not being used for projects? This is one of the things that we'll be watching and pointing out to staff. It is going to look or reflect badly on the program if we have money that isn't put into circulation for projects. So some of these projects that we receive issue authorization and they languish, it's going to look bad. And so we'll have to look at ways of dealing with that. Generally, this is a positive report. I'm not going to bring up the negatives, but it is overall a very positive report. But EPA points out that the division does not have a separate, an independent financial audit of our programs. While we have an audit by EPA every year, we have the department finance people who are looking at our program. Our staff are watching the rules on handling the monies and so forth. On occasion, we get contacted by the Utah Auditor's Office about questions on our operation, even though it isn't a full-blown audit. But we are reviewed quite extensively, and it's only a recommendation. It's not a requirement of EPA. I feel confident that the controls and the reviews that are in place are adequate. But they did comment on that. And that's all I have to say. If there's any questions, I might be happy to answer.
Any questions or further discussion from the board? Thank you, Ken. Okay. Any further discussion to bring up before the board? Okay, well, our next meeting is with rural water users at the Davis Conference Center, and that is August 27th, 2 p.m. And so we will be up in Davis County in Layton. Dale, did you have? Okay.
If I may, Betty, we've kind of revamped that conference this year so that we're starting Wednesday afternoon, and then the bulk of the conference happens on Thursday. I believe, if I remember correctly, that the ULS board meeting is still on Wednesday afternoon. But know that you are welcome to attend the whole conference. Conference registration will be gratis to you. And Thursday, like I say, is the bulk of the training, the bulk of what happens will happen at the conference. Also some fun things, macro rodeo. We're having kind of a casino event that I'm not sure what that's all about. I take no responsibility. That was other people's idea. But apparently it's been a lot of fun at other events, so, you know. But anyway, all I really want to say is you are more than welcome to be there for the entire conference and join us. Gives you a good opportunity to meet a lot of operators, managers, owners, council people that are in attendance at that conference. So if you can, please come with us. I think Ken will be there throughout the conference. And, we always manage to put members of the Division of Drinking Water to work and find things for them to talk about, too. So, anyway, thank you.
And that is August 27th. Well, I'd like to thank staff, those who have attended, and the board members being here today and taking part and participating and moving this work forward. It's necessary, it's good, and it's rewarding to the communities who can benefit from what we do. I'll take a motion to adjourn. I so move.
Second.
by David Sackerson. We have so many Davids that I have to use last names on when we say David.